You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, if you want to know what's really going on with your Cleveland Browns, then get the latest information directly from the source. Download the official Cleveland Browns mobile app for Apple and Android phones, tablets, and iPads. Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns at any time and everywhere. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura with you. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Want to hear from you, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. You can also tweet us at Browns underscore daily. Want to get those tweets. So a couple of playoff notes I wanted to cover with you,
sure.
Nathan. And let's talk about the Kansas City Colts game from the KC perspective. I was there back in the day, whatever it was, 1993,
a certain
team called the Buffalo Bills made the greatest comeback in postseason history, and it still stands. But 28-point comeback by the Chiefs now ranks as the second greatest one. And there are a couple of lingering points from that. One lingering point from that Buffalo game, besides Frank Reich and the great job he did in leading that comeback. And by the way, he was on the sidelines with Phillip Rivers. He's their quarterbacks coach in San Diego. So you might have caught a glimpse of him like the day after that game. Rang true to me that I was covering that back then. And then here's old Frank out there, like the rest of us, a little grayer, kind of watching football. From the sidelines, but guiding that quarterback. But at the time, he engineered this great comeback. And then we saw this being engineered by Andrew Luck. But the story that lingered from Buffalo and then the Houston Oilers was the Houston Oilers meltdown. And it led to the firing of a defensive coordinator and other members of a defensive staff. It led to Warren Moon, who was the quarterback of the Oilers, being unable to go to school because his kids being unable to go to school because dad was being just vilified, as you could expect. And what the common theme, the Oilers had no ability to run their way to kill clock. They were basically, they used an H-back. They didn't even have a true power tight end. They were all about throwing the football in that run-and-gun kind of offense that they had going at the time. And I thought the Chiefs, obviously it was a function of injury, but they, without Jamal Charles, it was if they basically said, we have no prayer of running this thing, so we're going to keep throwing it. And all they kept doing was giving the ball back to Andrew Luck.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny. You mentioned, you said to Rhonda that you knew it wasn't over. My dad had texted me, and he said, Alex Smith's going to win this one. And I said, this game is far from over. And that's when they were up 28. They went up 38-10. I said, they've done this all year. They've had massive second-half comebacks all season. And sure enough, Andrew Luck did it, going 29-45, 443 yards. The amazing thing is they turned the ball over four times in this game and still put 45 points on the board against the Chiefs, 35 in the second half. And obviously, I thought the injury to Jamal Charles was a crusher. Niall Davis played well, but then when he got hurt at the end, that was too much. Once it went down to Cyrus Gray, they didn't try to run the ball, couldn't come up with the key plays. I thought Alex Smith honestly played a great game. Threw for 378 yards and four touchdowns, no interceptions, ran for another 57. The defense of the Chiefs, which was its strength early in the season, abandoned them. Their inability to get pressure on a quarterback who dropped back 45 times, that to me, that was a problem only one sack in that game. I was very impressed with the Colts, and I think the Chiefs' defense really is going to have a lot to answer for, because if you lose Jamal Charles and you still put 44 points on the board offensively, you need to get the job done. That needs to be a win.
It really does. And for Andy Reid, a lot of great things that were done to help turn around a 2-14
horrible timeouts, Vic.
But
he
horrible
is atrocious with timeouts.
I was just going to say, horrible time management, and that has been the knock on Andy Reid. That was a knock on him in Philadelphia, and it proved to be a problem yesterday. Horrendous time. I mean, I was like saying, there were two problems I had from there's more than two things that went wrong. Time management was one. And in their return game, it wasn't until the last kickoff return that their returner decided to kneel down as he should have on three previous occasions because he didn't make it to the 20. You know,
right.
It was like, that was maddening. I said this every time I saw those decisions, he was deep in the end zone saying, I'm going to break this one. And no, he didn't come close to it. So either he was being told to be aggressive with the return, or, you know, or something, or he was just being silly and not very smart about it. I just thought there wasn't bright football being played. And usually a combination of a lot of things have to happen for you to blow that kind of a lead. And they all did for the Kansas City Chiefs.
I also would say this, that intentional grounding, inexcusable. In that situation, you can't have that. They were in field goal range. I know it would have been a long field goal, but in today's NFL, a 55-yard field goal indoors is not that long of a field goal.
Right.
That intentional grounding, the way that went down, was ridiculous, and I think that was another huge play that cost him. And I'll say this, why not try the 59-yard field goal? Why not?
Yeah.
We've seen it.
Yeah.
We've seen plenty of people kick them. Ryan Succop can kick the ball.
Yes, right. He can. He's got the leg power, maybe his accuracy, whatever.
But sure, his accuracy is not there, but I mean, you're taking a 4th and 11 versus an opportunity to basically win the game right there.
I didn't think 4th and 11 was going to produce anything, but you know the result that it did. And yes, I know Dwayne Bowe had just a half of a foot out of bounds there, and that would have set up the closer field goal. But still. And look, Andy's got to trust what Andy trusts. He says, we got a good play here. We'll get single coverage. He'll do it. And he got pretty much everything he needed, but the pattern was pretty close to the sideline. The throw was to his outside shoulder.
That's the other thing. Why are you that close to the sideline to begin with?
I know.
If you're in single coverage and the safety is not going to get there, move your line up a little bit closer so you have that extra foot or two to the outside to make that play.
I hear you. No, so this is exactly what happens. You blow a 28-point lead, and you and
from our distance,
we're not even in Kansas City. We can come up with the laundry list. Poor Andy and those Chiefs players. But hey, that's the fate you suffer. San Diego Chargers. What do we want to say about them? Phillip Rivers, impressive in what he did. And Mike McCoy, I thought that was also a well-coached, well-managed game from that standpoint. And kudos to the Charger defense. As much as I want to knock on Andy Dalton, and rightfully so, I just thought their defense played a fabulous
game. They've become one of the better pass defenses in the NFL, only 6 passing touchdowns now in their last 6 games. They got, you know, the ground game stepped up. They ran the ball. They had a game plan, amazingly, to out-physical the Bengals. They did out-physical them. They allowed Andy Dalton to make mistakes. But there, as I said on Friday, I did say that I thought the Bengals were going to win. I thought it was going to be closer. It was a 7-point spread.
Yep.
I thought it was going to be a 3-point game, and obviously said I wouldn't be shocked at all if San Diego won, because they seem to be that team of destiny, that kind of team that snuck in, got out at the right time. They've now won 5 games in a row. They're playing loose. They're the underdog. They've had nothing to lose. They continue to win. They got the break, the unlikely break in San Diego, much like the year before Baltimore did with, hey, diddle, diddle, Ray Rice up the middle. They're a team right now that I know Denver doesn't want to play. They beat Denver in Denver with their season on the line once before.
Yeah. This is no slam dunk by any means for them. And I know as we get to the end of the week, we'll break all the games down. I'm actually liking the Pats chances more in Foxborough than I am the Broncos chances in Denver against the San Diego Chargers. I think this is a problem game for them. And I think the Chargers, they're the classic story of coming along at the right time, you know, getting kind of hot and doing their thing at the very right time. They came in with a plenty of momentum. They didn't flinch at all going into Cincinnati, and I think they were confident in their game plan and everything else on both sides of the ball, and it showed. We're going to talk with Gerard Cherry next, the third member of our team, and we will bring him aboard very shortly. Vic and Nathan, you're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily. It is driven by Liberty Ford, and this is ESPN 850 WKNR.